This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
This morning I want to start by just sharing something very basic and very simple, but yet so profound, and that's the kingdom of God. Someone once called it the upside down kingdom, because those who are first will be last. And there's so many examples of how the kingdom of God is so different to the kingdom of this world. And hence the phrase, the upside down kingdom. But the title of my sermon is not the upside down kingdom, it's simply just the kingdom of God. And it's so interesting to see this message that Jesus started his ministry with. Jesus started off his ministry on earth with a very simple message. It's repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus came to declare the kingdom of God. We read here in Mark chapter 1. Now after John was put into prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. It's such a powerful message. Jesus' ministry was really the ministry of the kingdom of God. In Matthew 9, we read, then Jesus went about to all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among them. In Luke, we read, now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I was sent. And so he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. And we see that in the essence of Jesus' ministry is this simple yet profound and powerful message of the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, almost all his parables, all his teaching was about this one topic, the kingdom of God. And this famous phrase that started so many of these parables is, the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God. What shall one compare the kingdom to? And so Jesus, almost everything that Jesus taught was about the kingdom of God. This kingdom is an eternal kingdom that continues forever and ever. It was before the beginning of time, and it will continue until the end of time. This kingdom will not change. And so Jesus came to earth with this powerful message of the kingdom of God. In Matthew 24, we read, and the gospel, this gospel of the kingdom, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So Jesus proclaims this powerful message about the kingdom. This is the reason why I was sent, to proclaim the kingdom of God. And this message of the kingdom of God will be preached to all the nations until the end. So this morning we want to start off with this. I guess it will be a series, because I will not be able to share all the aspects and facets of the kingdom. And so we want to start off this journey of just discovering what is this kingdom that Jesus came to establish and teach about. So the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at what is this kingdom, how does it operate, what is its dynamics and truths, and how we're meant to function in it. And the first truth that I want to start off with this morning when we look at Jesus' teaching about the kingdom is simply this, that the kingdom of God is a kingdom. And I think it's so powerful, especially in days we're living in today, is to understand that the kingdom of God is a kingdom. It's not a democracy. We don't get to vote. It is a kingdom. And it has a king. And that king is Jesus. It's not a democracy. You cannot vote for that king. You cannot change that king. That king is Jesus. And the second thing about the kingdom, not only does the kingdom have a king, this kingdom does not change. It is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The kingdom of God will never change. And not only will the kingdom of God never change, neither will the king. You cannot outvote him. And this king does not change. Jesus today is still the same he was 2,000 years ago, and he was still the same he was 6,000 years ago. This kingdom is not a democracy. We cannot change it, even though we would like to. Neither can we change the king, because he doesn't change. And then thirdly, this kingdom, this king, has all authority. It has all authority in heaven and on earth. He's seated in this kingdom. And so we're going to start exploring this concept of a kingdom that is not a democracy, that cannot change, neither will its king, but he will remain forever unchanging. And we have the privilege to enter into this kingdom. And so we're going to look at this as we consider our own hearts in response to Jesus' message about heaven. Heaven is a kingdom, not a democracy. As a matter of fact, it's so different to the world that we live in today. This world is fallen and broken, driven by sin and most evidently by self. And it's fascinating that this self-centered, egocentric, narcissistic way of life can lead you to be a prime minister or a president of a country. And nobody can stop you. And it becomes so more evident as time continues that this world is driven by sin and self more than anything else. And so it's so evident that the kingdom of God is completely different to the kingdom of this world. And that what elevates one in this world will demote yourself in the kingdom. And maybe what would make you insignificant in this world will make you significant in the kingdom of God. But this kingdom is completely different. The world that we live in is not just fallen and broken, driven by sin and self. It's driven by the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It is so self-centered. We decide for ourselves what is good and evil. We decide who is in government. We change the laws if we want to. And these laws even differ from country to country. Power and money rule this world. The world is driven, underpinned by sin. And then Jesus, in the midst of this darkness, came to establish something completely different. This rule and the self-centered, this power, this money that drives this world was the very same thing that drove the world when Jesus came. Nothing has changed. Maybe it's become more evil, but it definitely haven't changed this world much either. It's still driven by the same things. And Jesus came into this darkness, into this brokenness, to establish a different kingdom. Completely different to this world. As a matter of fact, it is so different, it requires us to make a 180-degree turn to enter into it. The world goes in one direction, its values is this, it's underpinned by that, but the kingdom of God is so different that if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you need to make a 180-degree turn. You need to repent completely from one kingdom to another. The distinction is so clear, the Bible likens it to light and darkness. These two kingdoms are completely different, and the way you enter this kingdom, it's so powerful. It's not through changing the way you live. That's not how you enter the kingdom of God. You don't first change before you enter into the kingdom. You don't first change the way you live before you enter. No, the way you enter from this kingdom to that kingdom, the 180 degrees that is necessary to enter this kingdom is a change of heart. It's a change of allegiance. It's a change of commitment and loyalty and life. The essence of entering into the kingdom of God is not through works, but through faith. Faith in Him as the King. That faith is an absolute surrender of a life to a King with all authority. And this is the powerful thing about the kingdom of God. It is so different. It not only requires a radical change, but it requires a loyalty and a commitment that cannot be challenged by anything else. And so the way we enter into this kingdom is an absolute surrender. Yes, I am a sinner and I used to live in a particular way until I come to a revelation by God's grace of His love, but also my own sinfulness. His holiness and the consequence of my sin and the direction of this world. And at that moment, the way I change, the way I enter into that kingdom is when I turn around and I humble myself before God and I say, my God, I am a sinner and I am not worthy of your mercy. I pray that you will forgive me and accept me. God, I surrender my life to you as king. I am nothing. And I realized that for the first time. I cannot save myself. I cannot change myself. I am a sinner and lost. And you're the only one that can save me. And so God, today I surrender my life to you. It's a 180 degree change of where I am in control. I will decide what is right and wrong, and I will pursue what my eyes lust, my flesh lies, and the world demands, to a point of absolute surrender and acknowledgement that I am nothing but a sinner. I deserve nothing but your judgment and wrath, but I thank you for your grace and love that you have showed to your Son that I may be saved. So I surrender my life. That is conversion. It's a 180 degree turn from one kingdom to another. It's not a slight deviation from a course, but an absolute turn to God and surrendering to Him as King. Surrendering to Him as Lord. The word Lord means the one who has absolute dominion arising from ownership. It's when we give our life to Jesus. This is how we move, because the two kingdoms are so different. You cannot remain in the one to be in the other. But the most challenging thing about entering into this kingdom, it's something that happens in our hearts. An absolute surrender to a king that does not change. As a matter of fact, the only one that needs to change is me. You will not change. But I need to change. That is conversion. Loyalty is a powerful thing that comes from the heart. And you know what? The more I follow Him, the more I'm changed because of Him. What is so amazing about this conversion is God's response to it. Even though I'm still a sinner, even though I'm still busy in the ways of darkness and sin and brokenness, when I humble myself and I surrender my life to Him, what is so amazing is that God accepts me, even though I haven't changed yet. I haven't changed yet. I've simply surrendered my heart and my commitment and my loyalty to Him. And you know what God does? Without us proving ourselves, through our works, He accepts us. He redeems us, forgives us, clothes us with His righteousness, adopts us into His family, calls us His children, and even more than that, co-heirs with His Son. It's amazing. So there's a radical change that takes place from that to this. Not just from my heart, but God's heart towards us. And it's because of His love. So we are changed because of His love and our response to that. What is so amazing is He gives us so much as we make that decision. And then as He embraces us into His family, He says, come, now that you're in this kingdom and no longer in that, now that I have stripped you of all that identifies you to this and I've brought you into mine and I've clothed you with my Spirit and I've sealed you as my own. Now that you're in my house, in my kingdom, that is completely different to what you used to. For years you've been learning and living according to the world, but now I've embraced you into mine. I will show you and teach you what it means to live in my kingdom, to be in my house. And so God takes His hand and through His Word and His Spirit, He starts to teach us the ways of the kingdom. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. He said, repent. Turn away from this world because the kingdom of God has come. And then he says, this is what the kingdom is like. And then Jesus' whole ministry was all about teaching us what it means to be in his kingdom. How does this kingdom operate? Which is completely different to this kingdom of this world. And he encourages us to follow him as he leads us, not just through his teaching, but his example and through the power of the Holy Spirit in us to become his children in the way we live, not just in our hearts. And so this journey continues throughout Scripture as Jesus teaches us about this kingdom. Now, the powerful thing is, let me put it this way. If you really converted, changed, conversion simply means changing. If you really changed allegiance from this world and the ways of this world to this world, to this kingdom and the ways of this kingdom, if you really turned your heart and surrendered your life completely, it will not be burdensome to follow Jesus. It will not be burdensome to do the things of the kingdom. And for so many, it's a frustration because they think they've got to leave so much behind to embrace something new. But if you really love, if you really made that decision, if you're really responding to the love that God has for you through the sacrifice of his son and the giving of life, eternal life, the spirit and the promise and the inheritance and all the honor and glory that comes with it. If it's really your heart and passion and you realize what you've been saved from and what you've been saved into, it's not burdensome to follow Jesus. It's not burdensome to follow his teachings. As a matter of fact, there's a curiosity and a desire to know what this is that I've been saved into. And how does this kingdom work? How does it operate? How can I please you? How can I respond to you? How can I grow in the reality of what has just happened? And so as we really convert, if we really change in allegiance in our heart, there's a desire to become more like Christ as he shows us through his life and teaching. At times it might be difficult. Yes. To let go of the world and the ways of the world. It might be difficult to crucify our own flesh and its own desires, but it's not burdensome because it always leads to life. It always is an imitation of who Christ is, which is so different to the world. I've not found it burdensome. I found it difficult at times, but burdensome? No. This is the Christ that saved me. This is the new kingdom. In which I am a citizen now and no longer of the other. So if that conversion was real and the commitment was real, if loyalty remains and faith and love continues, the interesting thing is change never stops. If my conversion is real, my loyalty remains and my love never grows cold but continues towards Christ, I continually change. And something happens in me continually. And this is the thing about Christianity. Christianity is about changing. It's about changing to become more like Jesus. If you don't want to change, Christianity is not for you. Change is part of this process of becoming more like him. As a matter of fact, somebody said, how boring must it be to remain the same? And I find it in my own life as God challenges me with more of who he is and the reality of the kingdom to become more like him. And in that process of changing, there is life. But make no mistake, as we follow him, we keep on changing. And we become more and more like him because through obedience and his Holy Spirit, he changes us. But also, we shouldn't be surprised or make the mistake that this kingdom that we are all called into is completely different to the world. It is completely different. It doesn't look like the world. It doesn't operate like the world. It doesn't function like the world. And it doesn't produce like the world. It is completely different. And the Bible and Jesus makes it very clear that they are so different as far as light is from darkness. And this one, it never changes. It remains the same. there should be no confusion. The result of following God and His Word is radically different to the world, and it will be clearly evident. The world will not be confused if you follow Jesus. They will know you're no longer like us. You don't speak to us. You don't act like us. And there's something in you that has changed. It's not like us anymore. As a matter of fact, not only will the world not be confused, Jesus says the world will be hostile to you. Because something in you is so radically different that it challenges everything in the world. The way it thinks, the way it speaks, the way it acts, and what it produces is so different that it becomes a threat to the world. And the world reacts to it. Jesus makes it very clear. He doesn't hide the reality of what it means to move from this kingdom to that kingdom. It's completely different. Here in John 17, we read, Jesus prays for his disciples. He says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. See, last week we spoke about one of those truths of the kingdom. How the kingdom works. It says, those who love God must also love his neighbor. One of the principles of the kingdom is you must love God and you must love your neighbor. And you must give to the poor. It's a principle. I'm careful to use that word today. It's a truth. Maybe I must deviate here for a moment. Patrick, are you here? Patrick Africa. Our resident speed cop. Traffic officer. Patrick, on this road going to my home, there's this round sign that says 40. 40. Is that sign a principle or a law? Is it a principle or is it a law? Because it makes no sense to me. Is it a principle by saying, listen, you're in a neighborhood, you shouldn't go 80 or 100, you should go slower? Is it a principle or is it a law? It's fascinating how we get so confused as Christians. Now, as a citizen, I'm obliged to keep the principle or the law? I'm asking Patrick and he thinks it's a trick question. I will send you all my traffic tickets from now on and say, I didn't understand the principle when I did 75 in a 60 zone. No, it's a law, isn't it? It's a law. It's a law. It's not a principle. It's a law. So, if I become a traffic officer, does that change? Now I'm asking you, Patrick, I haven't seen you drive yet, so it's not, I'm just asking the question. I'm just asking the question. If I now become a traffic officer, I mean, as a citizen, I need to obey the law as a law, not as a principle. It's not kind of shades of 40. It's kind of, as a matter of fact, they call it the speed limit. Yeah? I can go slower than 40, but I'm not allowed to go faster than 40. Am I correct, Patrick? I can go slower than 40, not faster than 40. But now if the one who determines that law? The government, right? Or did you determine that one? No, I just want to know because I know how to speak to, because it's really irritating to go 40. It's a long straight road, Patrick. It's a long straight, it's a wide road. 40. And lots of birds there. I don't know what it is, but it's 40. So I get it, it's a limit, so I'm not allowed to go faster than 40. You mean I can go slower
and 40, but I'm not allowed to go faster. It's a speed limit. But if I become a traffic officer and I now work for the government and I've now moved from a citizen to a traffic officer, does that still apply to me? Or has it now become a principle? Because sometimes we follow the traffic officers or the policemen and they don't stick to the speed limit. Have you noticed? I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I must become a traffic officer. Then I can go 60 down this road. Only if there's a crime. Yeah, it's always a crime. We Christians are the same. Before we saved, it's a law. Now that we're saved, it's a principle. We call it a principle. Just because we become a traffic officer doesn't mean it changed. So now when we talk about the kingdom of God, I hear we talk about principles. You know what? The kingdom has laws. It's like, you must forgive. It's a law. It's not a principle. Matter of fact, Jesus made it very clear, if you do not forgive, neither will my Father forgive you. It's not a principle of forgiveness. It's a law of forgiveness. The amazing thing is now that we have moved from that world to this world, the consequence of breaking the law is different, but it's still breaking a law. It's no longer not a law and now a principle, and I can kind of, no, it's still a law. But by God's grace, when I break it, I don't get fired. Excuse the pun. I get forgiven. So when a traffic officer gets a ticket, what happens to that, Patrick? It gets forgiven. I knew it. That's like being a Christian. It gets forgiven. But now, Patrick, may I ask you this question? Say I am a speed cop and I get a ticket every day. What will you do? I'll get fired. So if you see a speed cop, even though you have a dop-op in a badge ok, if you keep on breaking the speed limit, you're probably not a real one. And so too with Christians. Jesus makes it very clear. You know what? If you sin, you're forgiven. Your sin has been taken away for. It's been paid for 2,000 years ago. But if you keep on sinning because you are forgiven, because you have a badge and a dop-op, it's probably a fake badge. Because if you use the fact that you are forgiven as an excuse to break the speed limit every day, even though you've got a dop op and a badge op, you will get fired. Because then you don't know me. Because that speed limit is representing who I am. And if you break it, you reject who I am. That's why Jesus says, one of the laws is, you must love your neighbor. If you say you love me and hate your brother, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. It's not a principle. It's still a law. And if we use the badge and the dope as a reason to keep on breaking it, God says, I don't know you. So let me talk about the truths, just in case principle is too sensitive. And then we can't use the word law either because we're not under the law but under grace. So I'll just talk about truth. Principle truth. Principle or kingdom truth, number one, is that the kingdom of God is not a democracy. It's a kingdom. It has a king. And its subjects must swear allegiance to the king. It's the truth, number one. There is only one king in this kingdom, and his name is Jesus. You cannot come to heaven through Buddha, Krishna, Allah, any other one. There's only one. It's Jesus. It's one of the truths of the kingdom. So Jesus says, I am the king. That's why the kingdom is near. One of these other principles that is so powerful in this is that you can't have dual citizenship in this kingdom. It's a truth. It's not a principle. It's a truth. In this kingdom, it's so radically different to the world. In the world, you can have more than one passport. I brought my two. I've got a green one and a purple one. South African and United Kingdom. Who wants to be a dual citizen? Oh no, it took me 7 years to become a dual citizen. So now I'm proudly also a citizen of the United Kingdom. You know what's the challenge is? I don't live there. I'm here in South Africa. But when the pawpaw hits the fan, I'll go back there and I say, yo, I'm a British citizen. But in the meantime, I'm going to live here because the weather is better, the houses are bigger, the schools are better, and we've got sea, oh, and in the winter, even in the winter, we have summer better than their summer. Our winters are far better than their summers. So I'm going to stay here until the pawpaw eats the fan, and then, cheers guys, I'll see you on the other side. The kingdom doesn't work like that. No, I'm just joking. I'm really a dual citizen, but I won't leave if the pauper eats the fan. This is really my passport. You can come and check it. But the kingdom of God doesn't work like that. You cannot have dual citizenship. You cannot say, well, I am a citizen of the kingdom of God, but I'm living in the world as a citizen of the world. It doesn't work that way. You have to choose. The green or the purple. It's one of the truths. So you'll have to chuck the one and keep the other. You know how many times I've been at the consulate in England when people came to renew this one, but they never applied for dual citizenship to have this one. And I've seen it countless times in that 7 years we lived there. People come to renew this one, and then the officer behind the window says, do you have one of these? And then the answer is, yes, I have one of these. And then they ask, did you apply for dual citizenship? They said, no. Then they say, you have to choose right now which one. Because you failed to apply for both, you have to choose. And right there, with tears in their eyes, after 7, 10, 15 years of waiting for the one, they have to choose which one they're going to give up. Right there, they can't go home and make a decision right there. You have to choose South African or British. Because you didn't fill in a form. Which one? Right there. You know what? Jesus teaches the same thing. He says, you've got to choose. You can't have dual citizenship. You're either in this kingdom or you're in that one. So it's one of the truths. We cannot live like the world and live like God at the same time. It doesn't work. You got to choose. I think there's somebody that wrote a song. What was that, Bob Dylan or somebody? Everybody follow somebody. You got to choose. Either follow the Lord or you follow the devil. But you have to choose. James 4 says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend with the world makes himself an enemy of God. You cannot have dual citizenship in the kingdom of God. You're either 100% in or you're out. That's why Jesus said, if you were only hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm gonna take you out of my mouth. No. I'm gonna spit you out. No. I'm gonna vomit you out. Because the truth is, you're either in or you're out. You see, conversion is a decision of the heart to give God everything. Now, for some people, they do it instantly. On that day when they give their life to Jesus, for others, it takes some time. But the reality is, we all need to make that decision. Because this is how the kingdom works. This is the divide line between who's in and who's out. It's whether you're in with everything or nothing. Jesus was radical in his call for commitment. And you know what? As you follow him, he will lead you to become different to the world. But it starts with this decision. It doesn't happen instantaneously that we become different to the world. No, no, that takes time. That is a process of him and his spirit working in us to change us, to become more like his son. But the decision must be final. It must be clear. It is like I'm stepping out of the world into your kingdom. And the reason we do that is in a response to the fact that he has given us life through his son. He has made a sacrifice. And you know what? If you read Jesus, the guy is so radical. It's so challenging how radical Jesus was. And I realize the reason why Jesus is radical is because he has given everything. God has given everything. I said, you were a sinner, you were an enemy, and I gave everything for you. I gave my son, my only son, to die for you, who gave his life for you. He gave everything for you. I expect you do the same. That's gone. I want you to give me your life. Because you no longer belong to yourself. I've purchased you. I've belonged. I'm a jealous God. I'm not going to share you with anyone. This is who God is. One of the truths of the kingdom. It is a kingdom. You can't have dual citizenship. You must make a decision. It's something that needs to change, needs to bow in our own hearts. We need to humble our knees to a king. We need to make a decision. We've been in this world, we've seen this world, and we know what it's about. Then God says, I give you an opportunity, but first you need to bow your knee. Humble yourself. Get off your throne, and surrender to me. This is how we enter the kingdom. Then he says, come, I'll show you what it means. It's amazing. We don't first need to change, but we have to make a decision. You cannot stay here and go there. It does not work. Jesus said it this way, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You see, we need to make a decision. Who is our king? And it's not a works thing. It's a hearts thing. It's about loyalty and surrender. Some gets this instantly, and for others it takes some time. But we need to make a decision. This does not mean that you will be perfect in all your ways. No. But it will mean that you are loyal and you love one above the other. That you turn your back on the ways of the world, the way the world thinks, the way the world acts, and what the world says, and your friends in the world think and act. Or even your family thinks and act. Even your culture thinks and act. And you'll put Christ above that. And if there is a conflict, if Jesus goes to one and the world goes the other, my friends goes the other, the family goes the other, the culture goes the other, I must make a decision. Who is my king? Who is the one that I follow? I've realized in my life, Jesus don't lead me to forks in the road. He leads me to T-junctions. Often, sometimes daily, I come to a T-junction. And I have to decide where I'm going to go. Jesus goes right, the world is left. And I found it often that I stand at this T junction and I'm trying to find a way around it. Surely it can't just be option A and C. There must be an option B. but there isn't. So it's either this one or that one. So I have to, that was just a joke in case you didn't catch that. But what is not a joke is the T-junction. You can either go left or right. And so I've realized in my life, I constantly come to these T-junctions. When I spend time in His presence and I read His word and He teaches about how the kingdom operates, and I realize, but Lord, it doesn't make sense. Or I'm busy in a situation where something happens and all of a sudden somebody lies to me, or somebody spitefully uses me, or somebody lends and doesn't pay back, or I have the right to retaliate. And at that very moment, the Holy Spirit reminds me of the teaching of the kingdom. And I stand at a T-junction. I need to decide, am I going to do what the world does, or am I going to do what Jesus does? And that T-junction is decided by my loyalty, my heart. Who is the king? Who is the one that I follow? And I've realized unless I make that decision, I keep on going left instead of going right. But the moment I have settled in my heart that He is my king and I'm going to follow Him, and I know that it is different to the world, I've made a peace with the fact that it's radically different. I've realized it's so much easier to go right. And I realized I don't even need to understand why right is the right way. All I need to understand that He's going right. Sometimes we first want to understand where right is going and why right is different than left before we go right, and we hang at the T-junction. Or even worse, well, I hear what you're saying, we must go right, but because I don't understand it yet, I'm going to go left so long until you explain to me what it means. No. Turn right and say, Lord, I don't know why right is right. I'm going to go right. And as I'm going right, will you teach me why right is different to left? Because this road leads to death. And this one leads to life. I've found all these difficult decisions in my life. Every time I've taken right, it leads to life. Loyalty is a decision of the heart. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. To bow my knee to a king and to follow Him, no matter where it leads, is not a fruit of the Spirit. It is a decision of the heart. I say that with all respect. When I was a young man, I grew up, all that I wanted to be was a soldier. And by the time conscription came, I was 17 years old, just matriculated, and I went to the army, to Bloemfontein. I made a decision as a 17-year-old boy, I'm willing to die for my country. I didn't even make the decision because I necessarily agreed with the politics of the country. I made the decision because I'm now a soldier. And to be good at what I do, I need to come to this T-junction and I need to decide. And I made a decision as a 17-year-old, I'm willing to die for a country. I'm willing to give my life for a country. Why do Christians struggle to do the same for God, who has given us everything? He has given us His only Son. He sacrificed His Son to die for us so that we may have life. And over and above that, He has adopted us, made us a co-heir with Christ, given us eternity as an inheritance. And we struggle to make a decision whether we're willing to die for Him or not. And in the meantime, we'll hang around here until He changes us. No, it doesn't work like that, people. It's a decision you make based on what you already know. I sang the national anthem, Ons sal lewe, ons sal sterwe vir jou, Suid-Afrika. And it had meaning. I made a decision. I don't even agree with those politics of those days. I didn't. But I was a soldier. And I was willing to die for my country. It was not a fruit of the spirit. It was an emotional, cognitive decision. I'm going to die for my country. I'm willing to do that. The kingdom works exactly the same way. I'm getting completely off my point. I don't know why, but in the end, where's that? Revelations, nah? That's the end. What is it? Revelations 10. How will we overcome him? Is it Revelations 10 or 9? Where does it stand? Let me go there. Where is it? Revelations 12. What does it say here? In the end. Who's going to help me? Google it. No, let's not Google it. Well, let me just quote to you this anyway. It says, in the end, they will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. They made a decision. Oh, the blood of the Lamb. We will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. And the word of our testimony, our boldness to share the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. The preaching of the foolishness of the gospel that will lead men unto salvation. We overcome him by what he has done, our boldness to share what he's done, and we are not afraid to die. Because we have made a decision in our hearts that he is king and I will follow him no matter what the cost. That cost involved to cut myself from this world and everything in it. Because it's a kingdom. And there is a king. And he wants an allegiance. And when I bow my knee to that, that's where he accepts me. And then he takes me in and he says, my son, my daughter, let me show you how this works. And this leads to life. I want to end with this. This kingdom. Yes. It is a sacrifice to let go here. And there is a consequence of this. The world will hate you. It will persecute you. As a matter of fact, it says here in John 6. No, James. Let's go to John 6 in conclusion. No, let's skip that one. Time's running out. Time's up. I'm worrying about the time. The reality is, this kingdom never ends. This kingdom will never perish. That kingdom is going to burn. Everything in it is going to burn. So don't worry about what you lose here. Here is far more to gain. And Jesus came to establish this truth that the kingdom is not a democracy. It's not going to change. But it requires a surrender, a loyalty, a decision to follow the king. Follow him wherever he leads. Because where he leads, there's life. When you get to that T-junction, and the world goes left, and Jesus goes right. Even if you do not understand, choose right. Why are you going to choose right? Because he's the king. Why are you going to choose right? Because he is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. The disciples came to this T-junction often. I want to read you this one portion of scripture in John chapter 6. Let's go there. Therefore, Jesus was making a teaching
and he was challenging people to go right or left. It was a hard word. They did not understand it. They did not understand it. They didn't understand what Jesus was meaning, but Jesus says, go right. And they were thinking, it makes no sense. We want to go left. And Jesus says, unless you go right, you have no part of me. It made no sense. They want to go left. Jesus says, if you don't go right, you're going to die. And so, therefore, verse 60, John 6, verse 60, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, says, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And when Jesus knew within himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? If the Spirit, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Whether you understand it or not, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. It's not because you don't understand, it's because you don't believe. Because if you really believe that I am who I say I am, you will do what I say, whether you understand it or not. But the reason you're going left is not because you don't understand, it's because you don't really believe that I am the Son of God. And so it continues. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They went left. So Jesus turned to his 12. Do you also want to go away? And here comes the answer. Oh, the only reason they are going right is not because they understand, but because they believe. Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The choice of going left and right is not revelation or understanding. It is faith that he truly is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that every knee, oh, they will bow. And every tongue, oh, it will confess that Jesus is Lord. And his words, only he has the words of eternal life. I don't care what Bill Gates, Bill Johnson, Bill whatever says. Only Jesus has the words of eternal life. And if he tells me, lend, give, forgive, love, doesn't matter if it makes sense. I'm going to do it anyway. Because I believe in the one who says. And I believe his words is eternal life. I believe he's come to give in a kingdom that is completely different to the world. It doesn't surprise me. I believe it. And therefore, I follow him. Oh, and sometimes it's difficult. And yes, I'm not doing it because the world is going to respond in a positive way when you are merciful and compassionate to the poor in the midst of everything that's going on in this town. If you come into the opposite spirit and you follow the kingdom and we live our lives in this place, people will react and respond. And most of them, it will be anger. It will be hatred. Because you are so different. But that's what we're called to do. Be different. Because my allegiance is to a king that leads to life. And yes, you might not bear that fruit immediately, but in 5-6 years you will have it because he's faithful. No matter how many times I've taken this T-junction, it's always led to life. Because he has got the words of eternal life. But you will not do that unless you believe that he is the king. He is the Son of God. And you're willing to give him everything. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your love that you have given us everything. Oh Lord, you're not just given us your Son, but with him, you've given us everything else. You've not just given us your only Son. You are not just willing to die for us. You are giving us everything. Every spiritual blessing, every inheritance, everything. You've given us everything. And it's eternal. In this world, there's nothing that will last. It will all burn. It will all die. It cannot be stolen, what you've given us. It cannot rust. It cannot corrupt. It is eternal. Oh Lord, you have proven to us how much you love us. Oh Lord, I pray that today we will search our hearts again. And we'll make a decision in response to what you have done for us to follow you. There's some of us this morning, you need to choose which passport you're going to hold. You need to choose in which country you're going to live. And I want to give you an opportunity just this morning. I'm not going to do an altar call, but just 30 seconds to a minute. I just want you to respond to God's word and his invitation to make a decision today. Follow me. Just where you are, just in your own words, in your own hearts, as the Holy Spirit ministers, make a decision. Some of us, today you have to finally make that decision. You know what it means. I don't know what it means for you. But you got to decide to follow Jesus. He is not going to change. And the fact that he gave you everything is not going to change either. Oh, Father, I pray that you help us to make this decision today. To follow you with everything. Let us not die for a country. If we have to die, let us die for you. Let us not be afraid what man can do. Oh, but let us fear you. Oh God, but I pray let us not be driven by fear, but by your love. Oh, let us look at what you've already given to us. Everything. Everything. You've given us everything. Oh, and there's so much more that you want to show us. Oh, like my little girl. Oh, she is so proud of 1,000 rand. Oh, but there's so much more. If she just chooses to go right and not left. Oh, it doesn't make sense in this world. It doesn't make sense. But oh, in your kingdom, it's so different. It's so upside down. Oh, when we humble ourselves, you lift us up. Oh, when we choose to lose our lives, we gain it. Oh, when we acknowledge you in the face of persecution, you exalt us before your Father. Oh, when they take from us, and they steal from us, and they ridicule us, and they abuse us and misuse us, because we choose to go right, you say, blessed are you. Blessed are you if you suffer for my name's sake.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.